Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Father, we come before you today and we acknowledge that you are the mighty God, wonderful counselor, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, mighty God, Emmanuel. Be with our brother, Pastor Cal, as he preaches the word that he has studied and just marinated in all week. May you just bless him as he brings the word to us and open our hearts that we may be transformed and open to what the Lord, that the Holy Spirit has to say to us this morning. We pray these things in the holy name of Jesus, and all God's people said.
Amen. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is a good morning. Any morning's good when you're in the house of the Lord on the Lord's day with the Lord's people. Hallelujah. Give him praise one more time today. We are in the third series of our Advent sermons. And, you know, the word Advent speaks of his coming. And even as he came the first time, he's coming again the second time. And so we're moving towards this celebration of the Lord's birth. And we're using these attributes, these fruits of the Spirit, really, to move towards that what we call this season of Advent. And the attribute, in case you somehow missed it through our worship service, is we're talking this morning about
joy.
Yeah, our musicians and singers got it. Anyways, we're talking about joy this morning. And we're not just talking about any kind of joy. We're talking about the joy of Jesus. All right, his joy. And I'm just going to go ahead and now give you, sometimes I'm going to give it to you up front this morning, all right? So that you can chew on it and meditate on it as we move through this message this morning. Psalm 16:11 says, in your presence, there is fullness of joy. And so, really, if you really desire the joy of the Lord, you got to get in his presence, his manifest presence. I know the Spirit of God lives in you if you're born again. But man, there's nothing quite like being and knowing that you're in the presence of the Lord. I sensed his presence here as we were singing. Some of y'all got that moon calf look. You don't have a clue what I'm talking about. Are y'all tracking with me this morning? All right. I ran across some things. If God's presence is one of the keys of being filled with the joy of the Lord, I want you to listen to these metaphors or whatever you want to call these. God's presence is like a sunroom. Step into it, and even in winter, warmth and light flood your soul. I like this one. God's presence is like Wi-Fi. Invisible, but when you're connected, everything starts to work, and joy flows. God's presence is a fire pit. The closer you get, the more the chill disappears and joy takes its place. Here's the last one. God's presence is like a favorite song. The melody lifts your spirit even when the lyrics are unspoken. Isn't that good? That's where joy begins, with the presence of the Lord. And it's not something that just kind of flickers on and off depending on your location or your schedule. It's not reserved just for Sundays. It's not reserved for retreats and Bible conferences and even mountaintops. You can have the presence of the Lord anywhere, anytime, any place. Are y'all with me? The presence of God is portable. Say portable with me. Joy doesn't wait for a peaceful moment. It just walks with you. Wherever you are, wherever you're going, through every moment, even when you're scrubbing floors, washing dishes, even when you're commuting back and forth to work, Even when you're having, as we have done lately, caregiving, you can have the presence of the Lord. And if you learn to practice His presence, you can carry His joy with you wherever and whenever you're going. Now, joy is the second fruit of the Spirit. We talked about the fruits of the Spirit last week out of John 15. Y'all remember? And let me just put this down plain and straight, as Adrian Rogers used to say for you. Joy is different from happiness. Happiness depends upon your circumstances. It depends upon what's going on, what's coming down the path at you. Happiness depends upon the situation you find yourself in. And because of that, your happiness is up and down. Not so with joy. Because joy, the joy of Jesus, is from Jesus. And whatever He gives you, you can keep for all of eternity. It's yours. It's yours. And so we're talking about joy this morning, and joy is not dependent upon all the things that are going on with us. Okay? And I understand some of y'all are going through some tough days right now. I get that. I understand that. But joy is what every one of us in here needs to leave with. Not just any kind of joy, but His joy. Now, our Lord was discussing this kind of joy in this. I love John 15, the vine and the branches text, the vine and the branches passage. and we learn what it means to abide in Christ. Y'all, we learned what it means to abide in Christ, right? We did learn that, right? I mean, there's a conscious dependence upon Him. There is a... I don't even really know how to describe it, but you're following so closely that it's like sometimes you're almost sitting in His lap. It's a 24/7 thing. And you're listening to Him and you're loving on Him and you're sitting at His feet and you're in His presence and you're listening to His Word and you're obedient to His Word. You're obedient to His Word. That's what it means to abide in Christ. And as we abide in Christ, He begins to produce these fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You can't produce those, but He can. Tell somebody He can do it. Now, it's God's will. Y'all have asked me time and time again, how do I know what God's will is? Here's part of what God wants for you. God desires that the fruits of the Spirit be born and remain in your life. And He can do that, and it comes, and so we're talking about this fruit of the Spirit, joy, this morning. And I want to draw three quick truths from the Scriptures. Y'all got to listen up quick this morning. First of all, the joy of the Lord is obtained or acquired. Jesus has been teaching His disciples truth. Now, here's our passage. I hadn't even asked y'all to stand. That was just the introduction. I told y'all we're going to have to listen up fast. Y'all smile. Y'all look so good when you smile. All right. Now, watch this. John 15:11 says this. These things I have spoken to you. Y'all remember that last week? Remember that from last week? These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Father, bless the reading and the teaching and the preaching of your holy, inerrant, inspired word. In Jesus' name we ask it. And so acquiring and obtaining His joy is simply a matter of receiving what He's already taught us, what He's already said to us, what He wants to give us. It's just a matter of receiving. And this is why this abiding principle, y'all, is so, so important. His views, His outlook, His aspirations ought to be those of His disciples. Can I get a witness? This is the reason for the twofold repetition, my joy and your joy, my joy and your joy. Say that with me, my joy and your joy. We're talking about His joy, which ought to be our joy. And this is good stuff. Y'all need to pray for your pastor this morning. I could preach on this for hours. And so the joy of Jesus ought to be our joy. And his joy is an awesome thing. Man, it's not deterred by any circumstances. It's not delayed or diluted or detoured by anything that's going on in our life. It even, in fact, rejoices in hardship. Did y'all hear me? Where'd you get that, Pastor? Jesus, well, the word of God, the writer of Hebrews said about Jesus in Hebrews, I think I quoted this last week, in Hebrews 12, 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus had joy even in crucifixion. He had joy. He still had that joy even when they were beating him and laughing at him and ridiculing him and mocking him and persecuting. Jesus still had that joy. Where did it come from? How did he have it? Because his desire was so intense to do what his Father's will was for his life. Are y'all with me? Did you catch that? Did you get that? Tell somebody, I got it. Here's what Psalm 16, 8 and 9 says. Listen to this. I have set the Lord always before me. Abiding. I have set the Lord always before me because he's at my right hand. And I shall not be moved. I don't know who needs to hear that this morning, but you don't have to be moved by your circumstances and situation in life. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. Brothers and sisters, even as Jesus was hanging there dying for me and for you, he had joy. And you see, joy is a byproduct of obedience. You better write that down. You better get it up here. You better get it in here. Joy is a byproduct of obedience. That's how he was able to have joy in the midst of intense suffering and sorrow. And some of you all are going through, it's like you're climbing on mountains of misery this morning. Some of you are here and you're trying to get through some kind of horrible valley of suffering and sorrow. Well, I want to tell you, you can make it, and you can even have joy as you move through. Jesus said, these things I have spoken unto you. Why? That my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And so that's how joy is acquired. The joy of the Lord is acquired. But here, I need to move on quickly. The joy of the Lord is constant. Let me rephrase that. Should be constant. Do you see what he said there? He said that my joy may remain in you. When we're abiding in him, that's the key word. When we're abiding in him, when we're in his presence, his joy abides in us. My joy, your joy. His joy, our joy. Y'all tracking with me? All right. Now, it should be constant, and it should be consistent. We should have it 24/7. But there are some things that can short-circuit the joy of the Lord in your life. Here's the first one, sin. S, what's the letter in the middle? N, sin. Sin will short-circuit the joy of the Lord in your life. And also, disobedience. And unbelief will steal and rob your joy, his joy from you. Do you remember what David was going through after the sin of adultery and murder and trying to cover it up for over a year? I mean, he became an old man in less than 12 months. And that's what sin does to you. That's what disobedience does to you. Psalm 51:12, David said, "Restore unto me the joy of your salvation." David didn't lose his salvation, okay? Stop. Follow with me. He didn't lose his salvation. It wasn't lost, but it had evaporated. The joy of the Lord had evaporated. And can I just be perfectly honest with you? In my life, there have been seasons in my life when my fellowship with the Lord was broken, either because of sin, disobedience, or unbelief. And that joy of the Lord just slipped right on out the back door. You can have His joy. It can be constant, and it should be. It ought to be continual. You can have it. Even in the midst of battling cancer, even in the midst of suffering from heart attacks and strokes, even in the midst of dealing with rebellious children, even in the midst of terrible stuff, of death even, you can still have the joy of Jesus. Isn't that what He said? That my joy might do what? Remain in you. I believe the Word of God. I don't understand it all, but I believe it all. And you can too. Here's the last thing. This is really what I wanted to get to. The joy of the Lord is acquired, it's obtained by receiving what Jesus has already said, and it's constant. It is His desire that His joy might remain in you, and the joy of the Lord is overflowing. Can you say overflowing with me? Say it again, over. One more time, over. That your joy, He says, may be what? Full. Full. Now, let's unpack that word together. The word full means overflowing. It means an abundance. To use Dwight Dixon's word, it's rich. Hello, Dwight. He's not listening to me. All right. We're talking about being, the joy of the Lord being, you can be completely full of joy. It'll overflow in your life. And I sense, can I just share this with you? I just sense that it is the desire of the Lord that Second Mile Church be more joyful. Amen. Or else He wouldn't have led us to this passage of Scripture this morning. And we wouldn't be doing these Advent candles that I've almost knocked over four times. And as I look at the body of Christ, I'm not talking about our church necessarily. I'm just talking about the church. But I see more sour, negative, defeated, despondent attitudes in the body of Christ. I know there's not anybody here like that today. But I see that in the body of Christ, and that should not be. It should not be. And you know why? Because too much of our attitude depends upon our circumstances. I wished I had my boots on, Sarah, where I could really make a point, you know? So, it's not supposed to be that way. I love the verse in, I think the choir sang about it this morning. Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is our, three of you got it. The joy of the Lord is our what? That's our strength. That's who we are. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Even in the face of arrest, beatings, persecution, crucifixion, even in death, our Lord still had joy, and He said we can have it too. Amen. And it can be full, overflowing. Amen. Whew, abundant, rich, completely full. You can have it. How many of you used to know Susanna Wesley? None of you could, because she lived in the mid-18th century. Some of y'all are going to make a check out to Lottie Moon, and she's with Jesus. Here's my point. All of you have heard of John and Charles Wesley. Well, those were her two boys, the great Methodist songwriter and preacher. But what you may not know is that Susanna Wesley had 19 children. I thought, did I read that right? And I had to go back and look at it, and yeah, 19 kids. Can y'all imagine? I mean, and she's living in the middle of the 18th century, no electricity, no dishwashers. Yeah. No washing machine, no dryers, no grocery pickups. Can you imagine the chaos in her home? Can you imagine that? But I'm going to tell you what Susanna did to keep the joy of the Lord. She spent time in God's presence. Now, and you can do this too. Even when the house is loud, even when the children are all over the place, even when the grandchildren are ripping and roaring, bigger family, even when there's no place to be alone, you can still have the joy of the Lord. Here's what she did. She would oftentimes during the day sit down at her kitchen table and she would throw her apron over her head. And she would begin to pray. And that apron, man, became a holy place. It was her tent of meeting. Are y'all following me? And everybody in the house knew when Mama had that apron on her head, you didn't go bother her. And she would do this throughout the day, sometimes even for an hour or two. She'd just find herself in the presence of Almighty God. And she'd talk to Jesus. She wasn't in a cathedral. She wasn't in a church house. She wasn't up on some mountaintop. She wasn't in some Bible college. She was right there in a chaotic home in the middle of clutter, and chaos and crying. And it was there in that sacred little fabric-covered sanctuary that she found the joy of Jesus. Deep, sustaining, constant, overflowing joy. I love that picture, don't you? Can't you just see, mamas, I can just see y'all sitting at your kitchen table with that apron over your head. Don't bother me. Because the presence of God, y'all, is not confined to a church house or building or some place. You don't have to schedule it a month out. You can encounter Him right in the middle of your daily grind. Even when life is noisy and it gets real messy, you can draw near and find yourself in His presence. Joy doesn't come from escaping the chaos. It comes from inviting God right there into it. Amen. Somebody needs to hear that today. And by the way, as God begins to produce these fruits, love, we're talking about love Christmas Eve service. You don't want to miss that. It's going to be good. And you won't have the excuse, I got up late because it's going to be 4:30 in the afternoon. We're going to talk about love. But you can have these fruits of the Spirit produced in your life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness. You can have all those. And it is His desire to give them to you. And when people see the stuff that you're going through, and they see that wonderful peace of God, and the joy of Jesus in your life, man, they see Jesus. And hallelujah. Isn't that what this life is all about? Let's pray. Father, that's a lot of good honey out of this Bible beehive you provided for us today. And I don't know what you want to do with this message, but God, I sense that your spirit is right here with us. Your presence is here. I feel and know that it's thick right here in this sanctuary. And we all need to hear that even in the midst of chaos, that we can have joy. And not just have it, but that it might be completely full and overflowing in our lives. And I don't know who needs that today. There are some folks here that need deliverance, need healing from a negative, sour, defeated, despondent attitude. There are others that are here this morning that need salvation. There are lost folks in every service every Sunday that don't have a relationship with Christ. Oh God, would you give us what we need today, whatever it is. But I believe there's a lot of folks that need the joy of the Lord. And I believe it's your desire that we might be more joyful. And God, thank you that joy is a byproduct of obedience. And you're calling on some of us this morning to be obedient to your call and command on our life. And I'm going to pray for each one of you here. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, I pray that everyone within the sound of my voice might receive joy this morning. And as we talked about in the war room this morning, when we ask, we shall receive. When we seek, we shall find. When we knock, that door shall be opened unto us. Oh God, give us the joy of Jesus. I'm not talking about happiness. We're just talking about that overflowing joy, the peace of God, the presence of God. And we need to ask you for it. Maybe there's some sin or unbelief even, or some kind of disobedience. God, we need to get that out of the way so we can have what you want us to have. And right now, if you're here this morning, we have a war room. We have a prayer room right on the back wall back here, right beside the kitchen. And there'll be people in there to pray with you. There'll be people in there to counsel you and to help you. And if you're too private to come to an altar, I want you to go to the prayer room today if you need joy or whatever it is that you need. If you need deliverance from something else. And by all means, if you need salvation. And the altar is always going to be open here. And there'll be people here to pray with you and to love on you. But more importantly, the presence of the Lord is here. And so you be obedient to what God's calling you to do. And you'll get that joy. We ask it in the name that's above every other name given to us under heaven among men, whereby we must be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand quietly and reverently. War room's back here. The altar's right here. You come. Just do what God's telling you to do today. Don't sit there in your chair. Don't stand there. Just come on.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.